May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be seated, please. In a weekly sermon meditation on the gospel that we just listened to, the Episcopal priest Barbara Crafton sets the scene in an unexpected way for me. She describes a man's small room. It's crammed with old stuff, blankets, clothing, pots and pans, more than the man could ever use, she says. He picks things up, things that others would have thrown away. He's hoarding things, like lots of formerly homeless people, or others who have experienced real economic hardship, or have faced a health crisis, or simply are afraid of the loss of any sort of semblance of control. But also like the rich man in this morning's gospel. Odd that the very rich and the very afraid and the very poor all accumulate more than they need and are unable to let it go. She speculates that it might be some form of panic that they all share, a fear of losing it all, a fear springing on the one hand from the experience of having nothing and on the other the experience of having so much to lose. Something like the thought, you never know, I might lose everything I have, so better hold on to it all. And I mean all. So life becomes consumed by possessions, by the desire to acquire more, and a fierce protection of what you have. Possessions start to feel like security, like self-definition. We tend to think of greed as a sin reserved for the wealthy, which can lead us in two directions, both of them dangerous. We might look around and figure, we don't own the Lexus or the mansion, so it doesn't apply to us. Or even a deeper trap. We are aware of how much most of us have compared with the rest of the world, and so we sink into a miserable quagmire of guilt over how greedy we obviously are. But is that greed? Barbara's illustration points out greed does not simply lie in the possession of expensive things. Having stuff is not in and of itself a sin. It's how we relate to our possessions where the problem can lie. When we give them too much power, they lead us into brokenness. They lead us into sin. Whether that be a greed or pride or a deep debilitating sense of shame, they can lead us into brokenness. So the question to start with is not how much stuff we have, but how do we relate to the stuff we have? What does it say about who we are? It is, of course, one of the most basic questions for any person or any household as they question their own stewardship practices in life. There is this wonderful bit in today's reading from Colossians. Paul's been speaking about being made into a new creation. And Paul has named all these ways that stand in the way: anger, malice, slander, abusive language. But then he adds, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and clothed yourself with the new self. Do not lie to one another. Now, is Paul just tacking lying on to his list of sins as kind of an afterthought? I don't think so. I think he's saying all of the things that keep us from being a new creation are themselves a lie. That is, when we behave in these ways, with anger and greed, impurity and malice, we're not being true to who we really are. We're lying. Because when we do such things, we're obscuring our true self. We're putting the lie to the fact that we're children of God, created and recreated in the image of God. Possessions in and of themselves are not evil, but we can use them in ways, relate to them in ways that tell lies about ourselves. The things we acquire can become a way to set ourselves apart from or seemingly above other people. That's, after all, where the basis of the class system lies in this country and in other countries. You are what you possess, how much you possess. And if we start to believe it, that we're better than someone because we have more stuff, we're believing a lie. Since the truth, remember the truth, is we are children of God, all of us. We're all equally children of God, a wondrous reality that obliterates all distinctions we try to make between ourselves and others. Paul says that Christ is in all and in all. So we're telling a lie when we use our possessions to fend off our own self, our own sense of unworthiness. When we begin to define ourselves by what we have, trying to establish our value by the value of what we own. It's almost as if we collect things not for the pleasure we derive from them, but for the very fact of ownership. To feel important, to feel special, to feel likable, we collect. We possess stuff. Yet I'm convinced that if we tell ourselves our worth comes only from our possessions, we're denying the image of Christ within us. When we define ourselves solely by what we have, we are, in essence, as I've said, lying about who we are, children of God. And then there's this little curious thing. In effect, we have become our own idols. So, how can we own, speak truthfully about ourselves who are made in the image of God? I want you to think about that. What do the things you have communicate what you are? What do the things that you collect say about who you are? Does your collection of antique cars tell of your deep love and care for mechanical beauty? Does the brand new piano speak of your dedication to a musical talent given to you or your family by God? Does that beautiful house articulate your sense of wide open hospitality, of sharing your delight with those who come to be with you? And you might approach your reflection using the following criteria. After all, in many ways, it comes down to a few simple ways of how we look at stuff. Do your possessions elicit in you a deep and profound sense of gratitude? Does it bring you joy? And are you willing to share that gratitude and that joy with others? After all, our God is an abundant God. It's not a sin or a lie to participate in God's abundance, in this world's abundance. In fact, abundance is the very opposite of greed, not its cause. Because abundance possesses those three defining qualities: gratitude, joy, and sharing. That's what it means to be in abundance. When we're true to the image of God inside us, we clothe ourselves with those three principles, with God's abundance. The rich fool in today's parable was certainly pleased by his possessions, but he couldn't see past himself to be grateful or to consider sharing the great bounty he had. In fact, if you listen to his words, he speaks to himself. He speaks to himself and refers only to himself. He thinks only of himself. Whereas being made in the image of God constantly sends us outside of ourselves, seeking to express ourselves, to know and be known, to experience joy in the creation, and to want to share that with others. In the end of this morning's gospel, the rich man's death reminds us that we only have what we have for a short time. I want you to think about that. We worry about losing everything as if it were a way to avoid losing everything. Doesn't work. Ain't gonna happen. So we'd best use what we have well while we're still here. Enjoy what you possess. Tell the truth with what you possess. Even dare to project the image of God into the world with what you possess. Amen.